Hi, everyone. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast. And, of course, we have another great evening planned for everybody. I have a great guest tonight. But first, I'm going to remind everybody to get in your articles, press releases, poetry, excerpts, anything you want to submit for the magazine, which is mysticlivingtoday.com. It'll be going up on the 1st of November. And, you know, when I do this every month, I think, oh, my God, it's November already. And then I'll be thinking about December because I'm looking ahead, contacting all these people to send me more work. But anyways, that's what happens when you do stuff like this. And also my stars with a Z, psychics.com. You can go over there. I have wonderful people that are there that can advise you. It's not this, as everybody knows, just listen to the show. It's not this, like, Miss Cleo, call me now kind of thing. No, it's not like that at all. I've interviewed them all, and they're wonderful people. So, you know, we've got a great guest tonight, somebody who's multi-talented, and his name is Robert Clancy. And hi, Robert. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing very well. Thank you so much.
So we, well, with all that talk, right? Anyways, I'm going to say a little bit about Robert, and then we're going to get into what he actually has done and is doing right now. He's just done a lot. He's an entrepreneur, a best-selling international author, a spiritual teacher, and he's probably going to be embarrassed because I'm saying all this, an inspirational speaker. Yeah, I found out he's also a programmer. He does martial arts. He's got his own school, I believe he said. All of these things, and you know, and you wonder, how does one have time for all of this? But you know, I dabble in a lot of things too, but not quite like you, Robert. But I do want to welcome you tonight, and we're going to start off, I think, about how did you even get started into the world of spirituality? I mean, you know, you touch on souls, and you have something here that really got me. It really did. It says, wherever there is grace, there is God. Wherever there is faith, there is belief. Wherever there is love, there is hope for God's grace. That's it to a T. It really resonates with me. And you've got all these sites, and we're going to talk about them. But tell me, when you were growing up, did you always want to be an author? Tell us how you got a little bit, you know, just a little about how you got started in all this.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is I actually hated English class, so I ended up with, I'm launching my fourth book, and I've been writing. I have, you know, just so many pieces, you know, and all this information. So I started just putting it down, and I figured, and this is really a tip for anybody out there, you know, Jackson Pollock splattered paint on a canvas. I can certainly splatter some words on a page, and, you know, it's be creative, just go for it. So that's really how that, you know, becoming an author. But the spiritual journey actually started, you know, I was 19. As you said, I'm a programmer, so I'm a science-based person. But I hit rock bottom at that point. I shouldn't be here today, really. There were so many things going, everything fell apart in a very short amount of time. I was at the top, you know, my game at college. I was, you know, one of the top students, straight A student. And then I had friends commit suicide, friends killed in car accidents. My relationship fell apart with my girlfriend. There was a betrayal that happened. Then my mother was having a nervous breakdown, and my dad was turned to alcoholism again. And so everything just in like a 2-month period just fell apart. And I stopped caring. And luckily somebody gave me a pamphlet, and this woman recognized that I was struggling because I really hit it pretty well. And I was at the end of my rope. I really didn't want to be here anymore. And she said, I know what you're doing and you need to stop. And she gave me this booklet on how to meditate. And she said, go home and do this. And that's what opened it up. I had, I was about 3 hours in. And long story short, that's the first chapter in my new book. I really wanted to detail this. And it's something I kept pretty much a secret from everybody, including my parents, until 2012, for 30 years. An angel manifested in front of me while I was meditating. And I know what I saw because I'm probably the most sane person on this planet. And she touched me in the forehead with her index finger, and I was plugged in, and I've been plugged into heaven and what all of that is. And so the words that you you started with, the quote, that came from there, and I just write them down. And I call that one an infinity trinity. It's interesting that you pulled that one, because I see that as a triangle. And if you look at it, each of those phrases leads to the next phrase, which then leads back to the top again. So it's like a triangle, but then it, the last part of it goes back to the beginning again. And that's just how it happened. So, yeah, I'm a programmer, I'm a science person, and then I have this whole spiritual side, and that's how I got here.
Yeah, we were talking about this before the show started. Like, you know, you have to try to have a balance. Just like when I talk to my webmaster, you know, and I see things a certain way, you know, and he'll say, well, why can't we do it this way? I said, okay, you need to just sit and listen to me. This is how I see it. And I'm also very business-oriented. So you have to try to explain to people. I mean, that's all he really – I mean, he's learning more. I mean, we've been working together for 9 years. Obviously, he's learned. But, you know, it was really tough. I mean, sometimes we even lock horns about things. And then he'll call me and he'll say, well, you were right. And I said, well, then why do you argue with me? He says, I don't know. He says, because my mind wants to see it as – you know, spaces and paragraphs, and I said, well, that's okay. That's all and good. You know, and I told him in the beginning, I used to do my magazine in HTML. Oh, my God. And if I made a mistake, the whole thing wouldn't go up. But I was lucky then. I had somebody who sat with me on the phone. He said, I'm not going to tell you where it is. You're going to find your mistake. And I'm thinking, well, I mean, I would actually, Robert, I would sweat in the chair. Because it was about to go up, it was not quite, you know, the first of the month, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, where is this mistake? And then he said, do you see it? He said, I know you see it, and I saw it. He said, okay, fix it. I said, okay. He says, now, you know what that taught you? And I don't know if you would teach somebody like this, Robert. He said, what it taught you is that once you make this mistake, you'll never make it again. Because you have programmed now to look for that, you know. And I have a thing about numbers. I can really remember numbers. I can see the book where the number is and all of that. But that's just something that I can do. And he told me that. And, you know, the magazine went up. It's different now. That was like kind of like archaic the way I did it. But I learned a lot from him. But then this programmer that I have now, well, he's my webmaster, I have learned so much from him, and now we don't lock horns anymore. He'll say, well, what do you think? And I'll say, well, I'm really glad you asked. And then I'll kind of give my take on it. But it's really tough, isn't it, to balance that, Robert? Although you're writing, and I think your writing is probably more spiritual. So, I mean, you don't really see the programming end. I guess you could.
Yeah.
But I think when you sit down to write, you're just writing. I mean, I'm writing something, but I'm not – oh, I'm not like you. I'm not like any of the authors that I've had on the show. All of you seem, well, you seem to be just so talented. I mean, I'm talented in what I can do, and I know what I want to say. I just have to put it in words. And I guess you meet people like that, right? But you just sit down and just put this book out. I mean, do you just sit there until you're done? Do you do a page by page?
Yeah.
How do
you know,
you do your book?
I had a conversation with Dr. Joe Vitale today, and he was asking me what my secret was. And, you know, he's written 57 books. He's written 57 books and number one international best-selling author. And he said, because he was looking at everything that I'm doing, and I said, aren't you basically doing the same thing? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, here's my secret. And he goes, yes, tell me. And I said, what I start, I finish. And he goes, there's your next book.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Well, it's for some people, and I think you have to devote the time to it. Is that right?
Yes.
I mean, like me, you know, now like at the end of the month, right now I'm getting all the stuff in from all the authors, the publicists, anybody that's sending me material, poems and stuff like that. I have this book and I write everything down so that I don't forget anybody. And I've been doing it for years. I mean, the magazine I started in 1998, but now I'm more fortunate because the material just comes to me. I don't have to ask for it. I'll send them reminders.
Yeah.
It's that time of the month again. You know, when you get an email from Natalie, what that means. And then, you know, I've got two, I've got three, and pretty soon it takes me two solid days to do that. But, you know, to try to take time, I can't do anything else in those days. I'll do my blog. I'll take time. I'll have a little dinner, not much, and I stay up till the wee hours because it's got to be ready to go. And I mean, that's in my head, and it's always been on time. I'll get stragglers that are come in, but I think you have to find the time to write, don't you? I mean, you're so busy.
Just write a little bit each morning. I write when I, you know, when it strikes what I have, and generally, you know, my day is planned out. I work from 7 to about 3 or 4. Then I make my phone calls on my way home, and on my drive in the morning, I can use my technology to actually message myself hands-free, and just something will hit me, and I'll make a note and text it to myself through the hands-free system, and I can just speak it. So I can just be driving and then just speak it out, and it just records it or whatever. And when I wake up, I'll lay there for a few minutes, get a thought, and then just type it in, and while I'm eating breakfast or getting ready, and then I head in. And the other is, you know, my day is just mapped out, so I use time productively, and I'm also a multitasker, so I can do multiple things at the same time. Some people are linear, so it really depends on how you're wired. But the key is just to keep working at it. You know, if you can only write a sentence, if you can just jot down a thought, if you can write a phrase. And, you know, I had somebody that was struggling with trying to make a 21-day program. And I said, well, if you just break it down into 7 major sections, then doesn't that seem a little bit easier? And I'm like, oh, yeah. Because they were trying to think of 21 sections. And I said, do 7 sections, and within that, have 3 things.
That's right.
Then you're done.
Yeah.
So,
that's
you break
the,
it down
that's
into
the programmer
chunks.
In you, though. You can tell. That's your mind.
Yeah.
That's how you would. But somebody who is just not quite as multi-talented as you would sit there and think, oh, God, this is just so much. I mean, the first time I heard of a blog was back in 1999. My then webmaster told me, oh, you're going to have to do a blog. And I said, a blog? What is that? He said, well, you're going to have to write every day. I said, oh, his name was Rob. I said, Rob, I can't write every day. He says, well, you could talk every day, can't you? And I said,
well,
yeah.
You know, that's another interesting thing. So if you can, let's say if you do a video, you just made content. So then you can take that, transcribe it to text, and now you've got a blog. You can take pieces out of that and then make memes that you can post on your social media. So one piece of material can become many things.
That's what I do with it. Well, I have a gal who submits once a day some, you know, important things like, you know, it's Hunter's Moon and stuff like that because my site has astrologers and stuff like that. So we'll do that. I have this gal who does these healing cards or energy cards, and so she sends them to me, and I put one in the blog, and then I post one on Instagram, pass it along to Pinterest, and all over. I do all, but it's really easy. You just flip. It's like flipping a little switch. And and then sometimes I'll put in my own stuff, but this is actually it's a fairy tale. It's magical, but yet it's true. I know it sounds strange, but if you know me and you've known me a long time, you'll know what I'm about, and it's very, very spiritual. So and my granddaughter loves it, what I've started. She used part of it for her class. She's in ninth grade, and the teacher could not believe where the information come from. She says, oh, for my Grammy, you know. I mean, she added a little stuff to it and said, do you think that's okay? I said, you make it how you want to make it. I'm only telling you what my story is about. She says, I would really love to do your whole story, but she says, I really don't want to. I want to wait until it's all done in the book. Oh, well, I don't want you to have gray hair by that time, but yeah, I've been talking to myself. You have to talk to yourself. And I think I do a lot. I think a lot. I meditate a lot. I do that a lot. I mean, and that seems to be
clear,
really good for me.
Yeah, the clear thoughts are key.
Yeah, and so if I'm having a tough day, what I call a tough day for myself, I just go, my cat sits there with me, and I just be quiet. And that's it. I turn my phone off. I just sit there. And by the time I'm ready to get up, and I don't even know how long it's going to be, I get up, and I'm good to go. So, and I, too, had an experience when back in 1983, I had a visitation, not quite like you, with an angel putting her finger on your forehead. Mine was, and I have to tell you this, and I know everybody's thinking she said this all the time, but all the people that I have are so spiritual that they find that it's part of information for you to have. I was really ill, almost, probably would have died. And I woke up to this glow in my room, and it wasn't the light on. And I looked around, it was like a yellow glow. I thought, well, okay, this is for healing, this is good. You know, but I was curious. I wanted to know where it was coming from. It was behind me on the wall. It was a 7-foot raw crystal that was putting off all of this light. I mean, dazzling the room. Well, and I haven't forgotten it. I wrote the date down when I got up the next morning, and I couldn't even stay awake. You would have thought, Robert, she's not ever going to go to sleep. She's going to want to watch this the whole time. No. I was put back to sleep, and I was put back to sleep. I figured it out because I had to see it. I could have been healed, yes, but it was also something else. It wasn't just to heal me. And from that point on, I didn't advance this probably as fast as you did. It took me a long time, but I met people along the way, and it really healed me. I mean, they tried everything with me. I contracted a virus. I could not even stand. And it was at the time when the Ebola was out. Wasn't Ebola, wasn't anything like that. I wasn't in another country and didn't have needles and none of that. We figured it out. It was probably a drinking glass in a restaurant. It's the only place I went. And, you know, it can be microscopic. I mean, you cannot see it. And it took me quite a few months to get better. But I think that started me on my journey. But it took me a longer time because I had a son and, you know, it was a little more difficult then. And because I'm sure I'm older than you, but I didn't rush it. I just let the doors keep opening. And and here I am today. Look what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I never thought I would be on the air with somebody like you. I mean, I had no idea. But I think if you're spiritual, you just let those doors open, peek through, walk through, whatever you want to do, and make your decision like you did. Look at all you've done.
Yeah, and you just have to make a decision to move forward. Yeah, exactly.
And, yes, and you open the door, go through it, keep walking. Keep walking
right.
To see what unfolds for you. Because I believe that if that door opens, there's a reason for it, and you need to explore it. If you decide, I don't want to do that. That's not anything I want to do, like go skydiving, well, close the door. Don't even go through it. But you'll know.
Yeah.
I think you'll know. And I think that's what happened with me. But it was magnificent. When I got up, I drew it. I wrote the time. Well, about the time, it was still dark out, so it was probably early in the morning. And I never forgot. It's still something that I can pull into my eyes if I want. It's still there.
Right.
And that was a long time ago. But I wish it would help me finish this tale that I want to tell. But I'll keep working on it. Everybody that I talk to, they'll just say to me, just take time every day and write.
Yeah, exactly.
This is your fourth book you're doing?
Yes. And I actually have the outline for the fifth coming.
Well, you're a lot further along than I am, I must say. But let's talk about some of the things that you've done. And then I want to get to what's coming out on November 9th. You've got two big things that are coming out. And so now you contribute on a Los Angeles late night health radio show. You do that too?
Yeah, I've been doing that for 3 years. Yeah, there's the host is Mark Allen. It's an amazing show. They've got it's a lot of doctors and different medical professionals, but it's on the holistic approach to things. And I do an inspirational segment for Mind, Body, Spirit on there every week consistently. So I haven't really, there's been no weeks that I've missed in 3 years. I've been on every single
week.
Well,
that's really awesome in itself. Well, that's because, first of all, you have a mindset to do it, you want to do it, and you're not going to disappoint, and you're not going to call and say, hey, guys, I can't do it, I'm going skydiving, or I'm going skiing, or you have it set that that's what you want to do. So you're so responsible right away, I know. And I can hear it in your voice. I can hear that you start something, you finish it.
Yeah.
You will finish it. Might take you a little longer than you want, but you're going to finish it. I'm looking at all this stuff. Your first book was The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Soul. I love that title. Now, a hitchhiker's guide, meaning you just gather things along the way for your soul? What does that actually mean?
Yeah, I had this thing. I was thinking about these people that I've met throughout my life from age 6, pretty much was one of the earliest encounters that I had with a kindred spirit. And every person that you meet, I feel like we hitch a ride on their soul. And it's kind of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Soul is the inward journey from those guides that steer you back on your path. And it's so if you think about The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, that book that Doug Adams wrote, and the lead character in there, Arthur Dent, he comes out, his house is going to be torn down because they want to make a highway through there. But he doesn't realize that the Earth's going to be destroyed because they're literally going to put a cosmic highway through the Earth. And so he was focused on the little thing. But he hitchhiked out of there with his friend, turned out to be an alien, so they got off the planet. And it was something about that journey that they had, and I thought, they're going out to find who they are. I want to go in to find out who I am. And that's where I came up with The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Soul, because it's inward. We're souls first. We're not humans with souls, but we're souls surrounded in our humanity.
Yes, and sometimes it can play havoc with you. And I wanted to know your take on being spiritual, to be spiritual in this world. Sometimes it's a little difficult. Yeah, and I tell everybody every week, it's not easy. First of all, you end up having, I feel, this belief, which is me. And sometimes, you know, the road is okay, we're going along, it's good. And then something like steps in front of you or somebody says something and it throws you off. I've had that happen to me a few times. And I have to actually step back, and I always think of this as, I'm not going to let you rain on my parade. I'm not going to let you change how I feel. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because it's important. And it's tough, though, isn't it, Robert? Isn't it tough to be so spiritual? But you see, you've had the kind of two worlds that you've been working with. So you've been balancing them pretty good, it seems to me. I don't see a flaw here. I mean, look, you're going along, and now I don't know when you're 80 if you're going to be able to keep doing this, but you just seem to have a knack for handling it all. But I think when you are of the spiritual realm and you believe more than anything, and this is me now, I'm talking about me, that anything is possible. Anything is possible with God. That's how I feel. And don't say no, it can't happen. And because I'm going to say yes, it can happen. Because I feel God can orchestrate anything at any moment in time. And you'll get people who will argue with you. Well, I don't believe that. Well, that's your belief. That's fine. You don't have to believe, but I do. But you'll get people who try to, like I say, rain on your parade. They'll just throw stuff at you. And then you start to think, I don't know if this has ever happened to you. You'll start to think, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've been wrong about all of this. And then all of a sudden something will yank at you and say, no, Natalie, you haven't been wrong. You're right. But we're always looking for somebody to agree with us and to say, yes, you're right. But there's going to be a lot of people who are going to say you're wrong.
Yeah, there's I look at it that there's this light, and it's like you have your Dixie cup. We're all protecting our little Dixie cup or a little cup full of our light. And then somebody, as
right.
you say, comes along and they tip it over and it spills. And
right.
that can happen in the day-to-day thing. But what I realize is we're standing on the edge of a beach at all times, and that ocean of water, the ocean of light is right there. You don't even need to carry the little cup because it's there all the time. You just need to wade into that and understand that that's divine love. It's divine light. It's there for you at all time, for all time. And once you realize that, you can kind of pull yourself back from that. And the human thing to do is just to smile through it. When you do that, it'll change your whole outlook and how you approach any problem.
Or sit and meditate even for a few seconds.
Right.
Still yourself. See, that's what I do. I mean, because I get really hit sometimes. And I walk away from my computer and I sit down with my cat. And that's what I do. And I figured it out. I just have to keep, but I don't want to be doing that all day long. So, you have to, but you're right. You have to smile through things and say, that's okay. You have your own opinion and I have my own opinion. And, but to be totally of the light, and I always tell people to do things under grace because that's important to me. And I think if you can do that, you can get along in life and not very much is going to hit you in the face, but every once in a while, but I think it's in the world I'm in, I'm in the metaphysical arena with all of this. I mean, I have 50 people that work for me, so I've got all of them, and you have to be careful. You almost have to encircle yourself into something, into a light, mm-hmm. like a ball of light, and just let it bounce off. Don't let it change how you feel. And I'm still learning that, Robert. I still have
yeah.
problems with it. It's really, and I don't know if it's because I'm a female and maybe I get too emotional. I don't know. That could be it. I just thought of that. But I don't know. But I, it's what I did today, and I got right out of it. It was good. And
well, that's excellent.
And yeah, but, what I do, too, is on a Wednesday, I have all your media sheets. I have, Dia sent me everything. And I don't really, I read it, I look at it. And because I can retain a lot. And, I don't ask questions that are written down. I just talk. And it just seems to be the best way to go. So, yeah, so the day is ending much better than it started for me. So this is a bonus. Now,
well, that's good.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's what you have to do. You have to do it for yourself. Nobody's going to do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. And anyway, so, all right, you've got this site that I just love. I think it's because of the book. It's called GuideToTheSoul.com. Now, was that your first site that you did?
That's my main, yeah, that's the
main one,
the
yeah,
hub.
Because it's got your videos
it, yeah,
and your blog.
Yeah, everything links off from there. And then I've got the show that's airing now on DirecTV and Spectrum out. It's in California and to Vegas, I think, is the market area where the show airs on cable television.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Well, let me look here. I got to see all the stuff here. This is totally awesome.
Yeah, it's the Mindset Reset TV. Yeah, it's mindsetresettv.com is the...
Yeah, I've got that one up, too, because I have three monitors, so I can bounce back and forth here really easily. Yeah. It works for me when somebody is as talented as you and has done so much, and I say, oh, yes, I see it right now. And it's also hosted by Lisa Winston.
Yes, that's my amazing co-host, and she's launching a book coming up in... I think this early December is when her book comes out. It's her first book, and Dr. Joe Vitale wrote the foreword, and he's been helping her with putting the book together. So it's going to be an amazing, amazing book that she has coming out. It's called Your Turning Point.
Well, I like that. I like that. Maybe I'll get my hands on that, and I don't know if she goes through DIA or what. But anyways, your writing, now, you wrote when you were really young. Did you kind of dabble in writing then? I mean, I'm trying to find out.
More art.
What's more art?
Yeah, I was more artistic and had that side. Not necessarily, I was more into music. I had, I was in a band, so I played, and there's a lot with that part of it, but that's where I explored. So I did write poetry or things along those, you know, that, but never really, I wasn't a big reader and I'm not a big writer at that. It's just all came out after. So this is, you know, at 2008, I just woke up one day and had a friend who said, "Hey, you have all these amazing stories. She said, you should write them down." And that's how the book started and just got the catalyst happening. And then I realized, you know, we all have something to say, a story. There's always something.
Everybody has a story to tell.
Yeah.
You just have to be able to write it out and then take it from there. And, so now you have a couple of great things coming on November 9th. Love's Awakenings, Healing the Human Spirit. It's a poetic journey. And then you have Daily Downloads and Fortune Cookies from the Universe. Let's talk about the first one. Now, they are both books. Is that what it is, I take it?
Yeah. Yeah, they had both books coming out. The Love's Awakenings are they're poetic affirmations that I call my downloads, but I wake up with them and I have about 80 of them that I've written. And then there's all this photography that I had from the Southwest, black and white, that I took with a traditional camera back probably about 25 years ago. And I had all these contact sheets and the negatives and never really printed any of them. And now with technology, I was able to get them all into digital form. And it's almost like Ansel Adams photos magically appeared. And I didn't even know I had them. So they're throughout the book because it really illustrates that. But these are like affirmations that you would read, kind of center yourself, and then you can meditate mm-hmm. on them. So that's what that book is really designed for. And then the Daily Downloads is the first 350 inspirational downloads that I had, the thoughts, the words that come into me, and you shared one of them at the beginning of the show. It's filled with that in 9 categories. So, and the book's been out in print. I finally made it into the Kindle version just to,
yeah, I was going to mention that.
And
print
publish
and
it
Kindle,
that way.
You can get that.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Yeah.
Take a little journal.
Yeah, that first quote, that really caught me right there. Wherever there is grace, there is God. That's, I mean, you could just say that and it would affect me. That's it. That's
yeah.
all I need to hear. That's all I need to hear. And but so then, okay, you did these two. They're coming out. What else are you doing? You're writing on your fourth book, you said, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of projects. I'm loading up right now. There's an app that's on the Apple store. It's called Vibes. And right now I'm putting my content in there. And every day you'll get
I had
one
him
of
on
the
last
inspirational
week,
thoughts. Yeah.
I know what it is.
Yeah, so
yeah.
I have my content's being loaded into that right now. So I have meditations and as you know, what you shared last week. So that's going on. And the other project, I've written a screenplay. You know, just why not? Because
oh, I mean, well, why not? Just throw open the big doors. And
yeah.
You've got all these, I can see it now. You're walking and you've got all these shelves all over the place. Okay, just pick something.
Yeah.
Screenplay now.
Yeah, and it was very fun to write that because it's so visual and so visceral that you can't really write in a regular book telling a story. And this beautifully tells a story. And the wonderful thing about a screenplay, what I learned is every piece of dialogue has to be in there for a reason because you really can't have all the extra stuff. It would be a 6-hour movie or 6-hour performance or whatever. So you have to just put the peaks and the valleys and they all have to interlock, make sense. And you plant a seed and then it unfolds later into something. And it becomes very, it's like these Easter eggs you put in there, and then all of a sudden it's like that little moment translated into this later. And that's, it was an amazing journey, and I have 10 pages to go and it'll be done.
Now, are all movies done with screenplays? I would imagine that's the first step,
yeah.
Correct? I don't know.
Yeah, you do need, well, you have like an outline, and then you know, you can pitch an idea, or you can actually write the whole
mm-hmm.
screenplay. Again, I don't know how it all works and navigate it, but I'll find the way through the wherever. however that has
oh,
to
I'm
happen.
Sure you will. You know enough people. I mean, I just see all these doors in front of you opening, and you're going to go through most of them, if not all of them. But when you think about a screenplay, and people are probably thinking, listening, and they're saying, oh, okay, a movie. Yeah, you see, somebody
mm-hmm.
just doesn't say, okay, I'm going to write a movie on this. And then they just do it. I mean, there has to be written material that is given to, I guess it's producer, direct, whoever does it next. See, I don't even
exactly.
know anything about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, so now, okay, he's got this screenplay, and then you have to give it to someone to say, well, what do you think? Is this good? And whoever gets it, maybe they'll say, nah, I really don't want to do anything. Then you have to take it to somebody else, I'm assuming, until you find the right one.
Yeah,
who wants
the right
to run
fit.
With
and you also,
right.
you know, it's to me, it was a healing piece because there's a lot, it's a true story. So it's things that I've seen or witnessed and or that have occurred. So it's telling the story. But the main part about it is I know that if it's made into a movie or into something, it will give people hope. And that's the best way to reach people is through that platform. It's just a beautiful way to communicate a story today. And you know, really bring it to a lot of people. And that's my goal out of writing that and taking that journey. So that's one of the things coming up. There's other projects and all sorts of things going on. So yeah, there's it's never a dull
moment.
You're nonstop
here.
And I've got volunteering. And so this weekend coming up, I'm going to the Ronald McDonald House, and it's a long story how I have a movie
Aww.
Replica outfit of Spider-Man, but I'm going there with another fellow martial artist who has the shield that was used in the movie by Captain America. So he has the Captain America movie used shield prop, and he looks like that guy. So he's going to be dressed as him. And then I have the former Miss Teen New York, who looks exactly like Wonder Woman. So the three of us are going to go to Ronald McDonald House.
Are they
going to
be thrilled
Sunday.
Or what? That's going to
yeah.
be awesome. That is just going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The interesting thing
schedule.
About Spider-Man, there's no facial expression. You have to bring your smiles with your whole person. And it really taught me when you remove that tool from your life, how do you express yourself other ways to still bring the smiles to those people? And I've gone to
exactly.
the Children's Hospital twice as Spider-Man, and everybody there is just smiling. And, you know, I had a young boy come over to me. He went running down the hallway screaming Spider-Man, hugged me, and then he was so excited. He's looking at me, and he said, I know who you are. You're Peter Parker. And I just had to laugh. And then I said, well, that's my secret identity, so you can't tell anyone. And then I,
right.
you know, his eyes were as big as the moon when he was looking at me. So, yeah, you have to do a lot of sit-ups because this costume does not have the built-in pecs or muscles. You have to have your own. So I've been on a marathon workout routine for about 2 months to get ready for this.
Oh, my gosh, in your spare moments.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, you could be thinking about a part of your book while you're lifting and running and all of that. I mean, I ride a bike
yeah.
every 2 days. I have my headset
yeah.
on. But then I'm thinking at the same time. My
well,
son
I
says
swim.
Me,
I really like
how
swimming.
How do you do all that? I don't know. I
yeah.
just... I just
swimming
it.
Just it
right.
has its own built-in cooling system, so that's why I like that. It's just your
oh,
and it's
okay.
a full
there
body workout.
That's cool. That's cool. Well,
yeah.
you know a lot, but if you if you know, when people listen to who I bring on the show and listen to their background and all the things that they do and the things that they do not do, then they can see that, like, you're so creative. You just, you grab at everything that is kind of like, think of it like straws that are flying around you, and you grab this one and you grab that one and you take this one and you put them in this big, huge glass and never to escape, because eventually you're going to get to that. And I'm not that talented. I mean, I can talk. Everybody loves my voice, but I'm really good at reading out loud. I read to my granddaughter, and she's in, like, in awe. She's like mesmerized. I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "You have no idea what it's like when you talk. I do the dialogue, you know, and then I come down when I'm telling a part of the story. Then I come back, I change it." And I read a whole book for her in one day because she had to have it done for school. And she does not like to read. She says, "Why can't I read like you?" And I said, "Well, when you spend a lot of time alone as a little girl, that's what you would do. You would read. And pretty soon it's like second nature to you." And, you know, and she just, but she's the one that took part of my little story. I only have one grandchild, and she took it to school, and her friends just thought it was awesome. So that should tell me something. And I'm trying to gear it to, I want it, it is a message. It does have a message. It's believe in things you cannot see. I always end my show with that, because they really are there.
Yes.
And it's
they
to
are.
Make people believe. Make the that age and up believe. That's my big thing. That
yeah.
is my big thing, Robert, is, and it's
well,
real
tough
sometimes.
Well, you touched on one thing there. It was that we all have a unique talent. You have a unique talent. The key is to exploit it for the greater good of humanity. That's life. That's how you take what
right.
you have and make something out of it and be creative. And some people they don't consider themselves creative. I work with a lot of lawyers, and lawyers traditionally do not feel creative in some way. I don't know if it's the profession, but most of them have commented on that and said, "I'm not creative at all." But they are. They just
well, they really
aren't
are,
seeing
it
from
it.
The perspective. Yeah. Very talented,
I mean, they have to
and
draw
creative
from,
in what they do. Yeah.
Right. All of these bits of pieces of information of
and prove a point. And
things
prove
that have
a point
happened.
And
yeah.
Illustrate it.
You know,
yeah.
exactly. And then they have to present it. If they're defending somebody,
yeah.
they have to go. I mean, they don't even realize it probably. It's just second nature to them, and they just do it, and they don't think of it as being creative, but it really is. You're right. It really is.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, you have to find what you're really good at. You've obviously found it, and I think you're still finding it.
Yeah, that's the key.
I don't think you're done yet.
I just enjoy the adventure and who I'm going to be talking to tomorrow or where I'm going to be or what
right.
am I going to be thinking about.
And you're real easy to talk to. I'm going to let everybody know
that.
You know, I've been very blessed with everybody on the show who has been successful, that they've not had this air about them like, "Well, I've done this and this and this." I don't think they could get away with it with me anyways, because they would tune into my voice and they would know, she's not going to go for that. She's going to reel it in and turn it around. But I've been very blessed. Everybody, it's been wonderful since June. I've not had any, like for you, I was thinking about interviewing you, and I thought, "Oh, my God, look at this, what this man has done. I mean, where do I begin?" And this gal who's listening, and she listens every week, she says, "Just talk like you always do." She says, and you get them to talk about something, and then you talk about something. She says, "You never stop. You're never lost for words," and that's really true, but you have to have a great guest. You have to have somebody that you can interact with, even though you've done all of this. I have not done it, but it doesn't really matter, because you recognize talents in other people, and you're open, and you explain how you did this, and that's what people want to know. They just want to know, is he a regular person? Yes, he's a regular person. He's a regular person.
Yeah,
you know, just
like have fun.
I had last week, you
and
know, I mean, it was, and it's wonderful, and it's wonderful to bring people on the air to my little show that I have. I mean, I'm not famous, I'm not infamous, I'm not, you know, I'm just, I just do this every week, sometimes twice a week. And whenever I have to do it, I do it. If somebody has to come in on a Saturday or whatever, I'll do them. And but my greatest satisfaction, and probably you would understand this, is when I do the magazine. Because like what I got from Dia for you, okay? She says, well, here's an excerpt that I'm going to send to you. And when I put it in, and I put your picture in the book, I lay it all out really nice. I make sure that everything is right, all the links are right, everything. But I get like this feeling that, okay, I'm taking Robert here and I'm helping to present him to the world. Even though my magazine is not like, you know, some of the big magazines, but to me it is. To me it represents mm-hmm. something. It's Natalie's work. So like when I do your thing here, and I'll send it to her and I'll make sure that you see it. It will be done really, really nice. And I've been very, very lucky with that. You know, I have this ace photographer that went to, this is where I want to go, is to Africa. He sent me all of his photographs, actual photographs now, Robert, to mm-hmm. put, and I did one feature on him already, and then I'm going to do features every weekend, I mean every month on where he went. And hopefully what I can do with Dia is get different things from you via her to represent you every month. I mean, you're so busy, you wouldn't even have to blink an eye, you wouldn't have to do anything. I just say to her, okay, I need something else. And she sends it off to me. And when you have something like that going for you, you know, that's what I really love to do, is I love to represent people and show the world how great they are. And
yeah,
that's taking what Natalie's
just, you know, each thing is, when I write just even a phrase, I look at each time I'm writing something as a little diamond and I want to polish it. And then I just bring it out to the light, and that's just sharing it with others. And if one person reads it and makes a difference in their life, or a million people read it and it makes a million
that's
differences,
right.
I did my job. It, you know, I've had a post, I put up some things, and then somebody messaged me, a few people over the years have messaged me and said, you know, I read what you wrote today and I was planning on committing suicide and I changed my mind. And I thought, what if I didn't write that day? What if I didn't put it out there?
Then they wouldn't have seen it.
That's right. And that person wouldn't be here. There would be a family without a mother right now.
Right. Well, I guess when you're really spiritual, that's what you think about. I have a son, he has a daughter, he has a wife, I have a goddaughter that's, I'm kind of like her mother, and you think about these people, and, you know, you say all these wonderful things to them and bring them up and make sure that they're doing their very best, but you see, by what you wrote, it changed somebody's life forever.
Yeah.
And it changed
a lot of
other
lives, too. And there's
a lot of
people that are struggling. There's,
yeah.
You know, we all have
yeah.
struggles. That's what life is. It's not,
yeah.
You know, I look at it this way. If life was so easy, it would be boring. And you really need those challenges. It'd be like walking on flat surface for your entire life. You just wouldn't ever get the feel of what it's like to climb and all that was so hard. But then when you get to the peak and you're up there and you're looking out at the view and you're like, oh my God, this was worth it. That's what life is. That's how you get through.
That's it, exactly. But I like the fact that you're going to go to the Ronald McDonald House. I just think that is the coolest, coolest thing.
Yeah, we're really excited. And I got my
you
team.
You should be
so
in tomorrow. I'm going to post
I have
it in my
gone,
blog.
Yeah, I'll send you some pictures. But I put it out there. It was last year we went, and somebody took a picture of us, and it ended up on Facebook, and I was tagged on it. And that's when Miss Teen New York saw it. And her mother contacted us and said, she wants to do this with you guys next time. So can you, so now that's come together. It took a year, but we're all together. And now we're cross-pollinating between Marvel and DC Comics, but I think we'll work it out.
Yeah, but all kids love stuff like that. They really, really do. That's, That's part of growing up, and even big kids like my son. He's a gaming guy, and he's into all this stuff, and he knows cell phones, and I know computers. So we have the best of both worlds, and he'll look at me, and he'll say, Mother, you know how to do this on the cell. Will you just do it for me? He said, you do so many things. Why can't you? Well, I could figure it out, but I said, I want you to feel like you're helping your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she needs you. I said, just think if I didn't need you. You know what I'm saying? I just do it. I could do it. I could figure it out. Sure. You get used to, like a programmer, you seek. You just keep looking, and, oh, there it is. And my goodness, everything is on Google. Just type in a question. You'll get your answer.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Exactly.
You'll just get the answer. And can you imagine what it was like before when we didn't have all that? It was.
I do, because I was here when that was like that.
Yeah, me too. I used to work for America Online, and others have heard the story. But then, right about that time, I worked for them for 6 years. There was just America Online. You could use their browser, and you could use Internet Explorer. And then something came about called Thunderhawk, which is actually Firefox. And my first webmaster mm-hmm. told me, you watch for Firefox. I said, well, what's that? He said, it's going to be the new Thunderhawk. I said, you know, I kind of sat back and I thought, oh, yeah, right. What is he talking about? But then look what's out there now. I mean, just look. It exploded. He said it's going to – I mean, he was a visionary. He really was. But he – and he was really, really smart, really talented. Like I said, look what he taught me about doing a magazine. Nobody would have taken the time to do that. And except for the one that I have now. He takes time, and he taught me so much already. I mean, you know, I can do an awful lot. I'm really proud of myself. I often think to myself, I wish I could have done this like 25 years ago. But then I think, nah, I'm doing it when I'm supposed to be doing it. Maybe it would have been boring. I don't know. You know, mm-hmm. Oh, I don't want to do that. That's kind of dumb. And you think about your life. If you were doing what you're doing now long time ago, it probably wouldn't be exactly like you would want it to be. I think we do things like we're supposed to. And that's being guided by the divine. And that's, you know, I mean, that's how I feel things are. And I don't know what helped me along when I was a little girl, but it did a good job. And, you know, I turned out okay. I still have things I want to do, like finish this silly fairy tale. So I'll let you know if I ever get it done and gets published. I don't know who I'm. Well, one lady said to me, don't worry, I'll get it published for you. And I said, well, you know what I'm saying, but I'll let you know. I have a couple
last
names
year when,
for
it's just going, you know, that's the key is knowing where you're going and fill in the middle bit.
Yeah. And just sit and imagine. See, with this, you can just imagine. Well, like even with the things that you're doing, like your screenplay and your fifth book that you've got the outline for, and you just let your imagination run, because it could be anything you want it to be.
And the other is to trust
actually.
Your voice. That you know, everything has been said before. So, as far as what you're going to write. And I thought that almost crippled me because I was writing and I'm thinking, I'm not saying anything new. But you know what freed me from that? When I realized every note in music's already been played too, hasn't it?
That's true.
We've already heard all those notes. It's how you put them together to tell and share a beautiful piece of music. So think of it that way, that it's how you interpret music and share that. That's the key to writing
mm-hmm.
is when you look at it on that level, that you do have something to say, and it is going to be from unique in a way because it's your spin on those notes and those colors and how you paint. Because every color has been used.
I don't have to remember that. Yeah. It's true, and you can color it like as if with crayons, any color you want. I already know. Kind of know what the cover will be like. I mean, I know a lot of it already because of people that I've met. But it's getting And I know it's good because my granddaughter told me. So, and she's just like me. She believes just like me. I mean, I'm very fortunate that she didn't kind of laugh at it and say, this is a stupid story. No, she didn't do that at all. She knew. This is a great story. So, yeah, that's, yeah. I'll have to listen to those words that you told me, Robert, so I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know, I need to just put aside time every day, and then it'll be second nature. Oh, I should do this today. Yes, this is good. Sometime today. Sit outside. I'm in South Carolina, so the weather is beautiful. It stays like this. We get cold like maybe January, maybe.
Yeah.
It hasn't, you know, we've been having, you know, warm stuff. That's
oh,
why
I know. I take
things.
A cruise from, at least from New York City, and when we get down around South Carolina in, you know, late March, early April, it's beautiful.
Yeah. The flowers are starting to bloom in February. That's no joke. I have roses that are ready. This rose bush thing ever blooming, you know. It's just these little pink roses. They're just ready to. The whole thing is going to be full with pink roses. And I'm originally from Michigan, land of the ice and snow, I always tell everybody, like Nanook. I hated that state. Yeah. I'm sorry, people that are from Michigan listening, but I didn't like it at all. Here, I'm like, it's like perfect. It's like perfect. And so you're not from New York? Where are you from?
I'm from New York. That's where I am now.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, and everything can be done on the phone because I know you're on this Los Angeles thing, but everything can be done via the phone. It's amazing,
oh, yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Just like this.
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah,
you know,
I
have my own dashboard.
Yeah, I go from Los Angeles, New York, and Europe, so it's like between the three time zones.
Yeah, exactly. But isn't it wonderful? Look at all the experience and everything you can bring forth in everything that you do. Because of the look of all you've done, and I have not been out of the country. my son said, "So where do you want to go? You want to go to Africa?" Oh God, yes, because I have this thing about animals, and I just, and part of it is just, and it's in my book. If I told you about the book, you would say, yes, yeah, sounds like you, Natalie." So, yeah, so hopefully I'll get it done and. And then we can laugh about it. I'll have you on the show, and you'll say, see, I told you so. I told you you could do this.
Yeah.
But anyways, well, we're close to the end of our show, but we did not stop talking here. There was not a dull moment, not a moment where, you know, what am I going to ask him? I mean, he's done everything. But I think when you're comfortable talking to somebody, I think you can just talk on anything that you want and pull out good information. And don't forget, now he's got these two books coming out November 9th. Now, are they both going to be, Kindle will be on Amazon, correct? And what about the other one? Oh, that's going to be on Kindle also,
all be,
so you've got them?
Yes. Yep.
All on
Amazon?
Order
it, yep. That's probably the easiest place to get it, yes. They'll be on Amazon.
Yeah.
The both print and the ebook. So,
yeah, and I think you can pre-order sometimes some of these things. So if you've got the book in mind,
they're both,
you kind of forget about it.
They're both on pre-order right now, so they're available.
So it's good. It's Love's Awakenings, Healing the Human Spirit, A Poetic Journey, and Daily Downloads and Fortune Cookies from the Universe. And don't forget this that he wrote, wherever there is grace, there is God. Wherever there is faith, there is belief. Wherever there is love, there is hope for God's grace. I will remember that forever. I think I'm probably going to cut this out and put it on my desk and tape it so that I can look at it and be reminded what it's really all about, truly. And so maybe one day we'll have you on again. I would love that. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on. You know, I know you're a busy man, but, you know, I'll just get a hold of Dia, and sometime maybe next year, maybe when you've got your screen, maybe somebody will take your screenplay and you'll be doing a movie. Oh, my, and I'm going to be watching this on something. I'm going to say, I know him. That would be a great, great thing for me, just to say, I talked to him when, you know? But there's probably a lot of people
out
there.
Well, the movie, the screenplay that I'm working on, there's parts you'll laugh and there's parts that you'll cry in a good way, but it's it has both. Because that's life. It has to have all of that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But Natalie doesn't cry. She sobs. Yeah, there's just, yeah, it's true. You'll remember that. It's true. The one movie that is one of my most favorites is Fried Green Tomatoes with Jessica Tandy and Kathy Bates, okay? The part, and I have it, and I don't watch it very often because it's the same feeling of her when she goes, she's out of that nursing home, or the convalescent, whatever you want to call it, and she's sitting on her suitcase and her home is gone. I mean, that just rips my heart out and runs around the block with it. I mean, I lose it right there when I watch that, and I just loved her. And isn't that strange how you remember certain movies and certain parts and actors and actresses that she could really do it to me, especially that movie. But there's been others. But I have it recorded, but I'll see it and I'll say, nope, don't watch that. Nope. No.
It's like sometimes it's like putting on a nice pair of warm slippers. You know, you got to jump back into those and it takes you back to that.
Well, that's right. And you have to watch it again. And sometimes, you know, you'll be in that frame of mind and that mood that part, well, of course, that's at the end and then she sees the butterfly. That part may not bother me. But if a movie or a book gets a hold of me, oh, I'm gone. I am over the bridge and into the water. I'm just gone. And but that's just how I am spiritually, and I just take everything to heart, and there's nothing wrong with that. And anyways, you've been a delight. I just loved this. I was kind of concerned what I was going to say to you. And like I said,
well, we
this
got
lady
there,
said to me, oh, don't worry, Natalie, you'll think of something.
Oh, yeah.
When I used to do these interviews, Robert, I mean, these talks with this other lady, if she would lose her voice or something, and she says, well, everybody knows Natalie could talk the whole hour without me. You don't need me. And, you know, it's not the gift of gab. It's loving to interact with people like yourself that are so talented, and hopefully some of it rubs off on everybody and myself, and I thank you very, very much. And don't forget, he's got a couple of great sites to go to. The first one I want to give you, we have to mention this, is guidetothesoul.com, okay?
Yeah.
And then he's got this spiraldesign.com. You have to look at these. All of this stuff is just so wonderful. And then, of course, his Mindset Reset show that he has. And we're going to watch for you on DirecTV, and I'm going to find out about this screenplay. I'm going to be looking for it. Somebody's going to make it into a movie. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to say, yep. Yep. I talked to him. I know him. I can get a hold of him. Right?
You can.
But anyways, you're a great man. And have fun at Ronald McDonald. I'm sure you will. And everybody's just going to love you. And you're going to make their hearts feel so good. I can just see the kids now. They're just going to, oh, my God, look. And you're going to do a great job. You really, really are.
Well, I appreciate it.
Got to
do more sit-ups, so I got to get in that thing.
just suck it in, Robert. You can do it.
Oh, yeah. I'll be walking around like that for 2 hours. It's going to be.
You'll be fine. You'll do it fine. Anyways, thank you again, and we'll try to have you on again maybe next year or something when this movie is being done. I want to hear about that. This is going to be awesome for you. And with that, I'm going to tell everybody to have a great evening. We have another great guest next week. I don't even know who it is because I don't have my calendar in front of me. But I know who it is. It's going to be Stacey DeMarco, but it's going to be the day before Halloween because she is a very nice witch. She's written a book, and I didn't want to do it on Halloween because I always spend that with my granddaughter giving out candy at their house. So that was crossed off a long time ago. Can't do it then. And thank you again, Robert. I really enjoyed this conversation with you. Have a great evening. Good luck to you with everything that you're doing. And everybody that's listening, remember, believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. Good night. Bye, Robert. Talk to you soon.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.